Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is Friday and a lively one live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. A lot going on today. A couple hours from now, Tiger Woods tees off. Joy Taylor is joining me. Next week, we get into NBA playoffs. The draft ends a couple of weeks out. This is our last kind of Friday before it gets crazy with NBA playoff stuff, draft stuff, and Joy, you look like you're ready for a weekend in Southern California. It's 95 today.
Yes.
It is tropical.
It's funny you say that because I was picking what I was going to wear today, and I was like, you know what? It's too hot for these long-sleeve shirts, and it's usually freezing in the studio.
Right.
But it is, we're getting a heat wave here in LA, and yeah. As true California people, we don't know how to handle anything, so everyone is freaking out. I'm like, what is this? There's no wind.
It's great to have you in on a Friday. Thanks for choosing us. So Tiger Woods is tied for 10th. He was one under. You ever met anybody and you meet somebody in their 50s or 60s and you can't believe how good they look, and it's just good clean living? You know, they don't smoke, they work out, they eat right. Some of it's just obviously genetics. Tiger Woods is 46. Tiger's an old 46. He had a life-threatening, massive car wreck. Spinal fusion. ACL tear. 25 years of global travel. Also, major family drama. That'll put some years on you. Spotlight intensity for 30 years. Tom Brady gets tackled for a living, and at 44, he looks 37. Tiger is every bit of 46 years old. He has lived a really intense life. I think it's absolutely remarkable that he is tied for 10th and one under. I do not believe he can put 4 straight days together of intense golf against the world's best golfers. Listen, I'm not talking just looks. I mean, Tom Cruise is 59 years old. He does his own stunts. Some people just age well. Tiger Woods has, I'm sure, taken good care of his body. But golf maybe an old man's retirement hobby, but it is not an old man's game. The average age of a major winner, just guess, it's 32. Jack Nicklaus, who didn't have any of the trauma like Tiger did, 46 years old, was his last major win. And that's Tiger today. The back, the wrists, repetitive swinging over and over. Golf ages you really, really quickly. And Tiger now is a little bit of a victim of his greatness. Because all these golfers now are long off the tee, and they're athletic. Think about this. In Tiger's prime, let's say 2000, there was one golfer on the tour that averaged 300 yards off the tee or more. One, John Daly. There are 90 today. 90. Nutrition, trainers, weights, the way they travel. They don't travel as much. They pick their spots. This has never been deeper. Golf has never had more athletic, strong, long off the tee, great with the iron performers ever. So Tiger is one under. He's going to golf in about 90 minutes. I think it's remarkable he's even this competitive. I really do. It's remarkable. I'm crossing my fingers for the weekend. I told you yesterday I have Dustin Johnson to win it. Here's Tiger after round one.
I am as sore as I expected to feel, but it was amazing to have. Like I was telling the team, you know, all week, come game time, it'll be a different deal. You know, my adrenaline will kick in. I'll get into my own little world, and I'll get after it. If you would have seen how my leg looked to where it's at now, the pictures, some of the guys know that they've seen the pictures, and they've come over to the house and they've seen it, and to see where I've been, to get from there to here. It wasn't no easy task.
You know, it's easy to like Tiger now. He's very embraceable because he's much more vulnerable now. I remember when I used to work in Portland, Oregon, I was a sportscaster for the NBC affiliate there, and I would put Tiger on every chance I get. And I would go, and I'm a lousy golfer, but I was at a public course one time, and people were like, oh, all you do is show Tiger. There was some resentment on the tour because, you know, Tiger burst onto the scene, the network shows every shot. I find him much more relatable now. He's like a lot of guys on the course. His back hurts, his knees sore, and he's got a shot this weekend. Today is going to be crucial. Can't wait to watch, rooting for him, but he has lived a really, really dramatic, traumatic, intense 46 years. Let's shift to this. So I've said this before. The media, as I've aged, has gotten younger, not relative just to me. But, you know, when you hire young people in the media, they're less expensive. And the media has never been more corporate owned. And so the trend I see with young media people, it's just pay everybody. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You can't pay everybody. Outside of baseball, these are salary cap leagues. And so whenever I, you know, see somebody get paid, everybody in the media celebrates. And I'm always like, you guys ever run a business? You can't just pay everybody what you want to pay them. Right now we have like a housing bubble and a wide receiver bubble. But it's interesting. This looks like an easy one. And let me just take you inside what the San Francisco 49ers are thinking with Deebo Samuel. Now, Deebo Samuel is a very unique player. He's a running back. He's a wide receiver. They use him in a variety of positions. He's fantastic. Big, bruising, and physical. And you should just pay him what he wants, right? Well, yesterday he took all his social media stuff with the Niners down, which is juvenile, but it's a trend. He wants to get paid top of the market. I want you to think about this. If you ran the Niners, he gets hurt a lot. He plays one way. He's not going to age well. He's never played a full season. 2 years ago, he played 7 games. First thing to think about. Second, George Kittle is your other most dynamic offensive player. He's expensive and he gets hurt a lot. You're trying to beat the Rams in that division. Aaron Donald never gets hurt. Jalen Ramsey's not hurt. Stafford's never hurt. Go look at the Rams' best players, Bobby Wagner. You want to have your two best offensive players? Kittle and Deebo Samuel, often unavailable. They play one way. They're both wildly physical, Hall of Fame talents. Kyle Shanahan's offense leans into these type of players. That's why they draft him. He likes big, physical players. And Niners have pushed the Packers around multiple times in the last several years. Green Bay can't beat him. But when I hear just pay Deebo, just pay him, there's a lot that goes into this. He's essentially becoming a quasi-running back. Go ask the Dallas Cowboys what it's like to pay big money to a running back early. How's that work with Zeke? That's why they can't keep Amari. Go ask the Rams, Todd Gurley. How'd that work out? Go ask the Carolina Panthers on Christian McCaffrey. How are those things working out? Not great. The player's winning, the team isn't. Deebo Samuel's contract is very interesting. Because if you sign him for big money, think about your four crucial players for the Niners. Trent Williams, expensive, had some injuries. Kittle, Garoppolo, and Deebo Samuel. On any given Sunday, none are available. Rams, in the same division, Aaron Donald, always available. Stafford, always available. Cooper Kupp, always available. Jalen Ramsey, always available. Bobby Wagner, always available. So that's not as easy as you think. The media always said, oh, just pay the guys. Yes, I like him a lot. But as he's been moved to a running back for a lot of his importance, that's the last offensive position. You can hit a guy as hard as you want. You can hit him wherever you want. And the way Deebo Samuel plays, I mean, he is old school. He and George Kittle look like 1977 football players. They are seeking. They are heat-seeking contact missiles. So the Niners right now, he has scrubbed his social media of all the Niners stuff. What would I want to do? I'd franchise tag him. Players don't like franchise tag. It's amazing. They agree to it, but players hate the franchise tag. I would not pay him early, and I would pay him, and I would deal with some repercussions. But this is what goes into it. The rival Rams' best players are never hurt. Ours increasingly are older, expensive, and getting hurt. That's what these GMs have to think about in a salary cap league. It's just not as easy as these two words. Pay him! Not that easy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
They got rid of Trevor Ariza. They're going to reshape their roster. There's a lot of speculation on what they're going to do. We all know they're going to get rid of Russell Westbrook. They would like to move off Anthony Davis. I've been told they can't. He's just not healthy enough, so they can't get much for him. Maybe they can do it next year at the All-Star break, after he's had a very good first half, if he stays healthy. I highly doubt it at this point in his career. He just gets hurt about every 15, 20 games. There are those that are throwing out LeBron as a trade option. I saw Brian Windhorst said, keep your eye on LeBron and Luka teaming up because, you know, LeBron keeps picking him in the All-Star games. How's that going to happen? It can't. Mark Cuban has his star. He's not going to sacrifice anything to get LeBron. And, you know, why would I help the Lakers out? I don't think LeBron's nearly as enticing to the rest of the top teams in this league as a lot of people speculate, including LeBron. He's old and expensive. He plays about 60 games a year. He doesn't like playing with young guys. And here's the biggest issue. He can't play with anybody who has the ball in their hands. LeBron is a seventh in the NBA in ball usage. Seventh. Look at all the players around him that people think he should play with. Ball usage. Embiid, Luka, Giannis, Trae Young, Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, Tatum, Booker, Jokic, DeRozan, Steph Curry. So if LeBron goes to these teams, he's not a good enough shooter to play off the ball. That's not his style. LeBron's not going to do that. His ego and his style is going to eliminate that option. He wants the ball in his hands. You can't take it out of Jason Tatum's hands or Devin Booker or Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young or Giannis's hands. Giannis is a better player now. Jokic is statistically, right now, a better player than LeBron. So this idea that you can move LeBron, yeah, there'd be a lot of places it'd be wonderful if he would play off the ball. But if you put him with Luka, Luka's not as effective off the ball. Do you want to tell Luka or Jason Tatum or Devin Booker, young stars, it's LeBron's team? So I've said this. LeBron is starting to age like Michael Jordan, scoring a lot of points in meaningless games with a bad franchise. Now, you can argue whether or not the Lakers are better than the Wizards, but if you look at the winning percentage during the Michael years in Washington, it's not that much different than the last several years outside of the bubble with the Lakers. So I think there's this sense, people would just be lining up for LeBron. Milwaukee and Phoenix are the two best teams in the league. They would have absolutely no interest in bringing him in, just like Michael Jordan's last several years. None of the good teams wanted him. The bad teams could use him as an attraction, but I'm not taking the ball out of Jason Tatum's hands or Giannis or Jokic or Embiid for LeBron. He plays 60 games a year now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hear this term all the time. It is a bubble, a stock market bubble, a housing bubble. Many suggest we are in a big housing bubble right now. Interest rates have been low. People are buying more house than maybe they can come to afford. Banks are giving out more loans. It's all going to come kind of crashing down. The housing prices, especially on the coasts in America, are absurd. I would suggest we are in a housing bubble. Stock market bubble, I don't know. Housing bubble, it feels absolutely in my life. When houses are doubling in price in LA in 3 years, yeah, I'm going to say it's a housing bubble. We're in a wide receiver bubble, too, in the NFL. So Brandon Cooks got $20 million basically a year yesterday. Nice player, good guy, not worth half a point in an NFL game. He got $20 million a year. Salary cap league. I like him. Nice guy. Has a concussion history. I was told when he was with the Rams, he was considering retirement. He's kind of a one-trick pony. He's a speed guy. He's not going to be all great on the route tree, but he can really, really run, and he has value in this league. But I've seen Brandon Cooks play on four different teams, and he has not changed the temperature and the offense for any of those teams. By the way, I was looking today on the internet. SpotTrack had updated wide receiver market evaluations. Cooper Kupp, 4 years, $113 million. I would pay that because he is so valuable in so many different ways. Terry McLaurin, 4 years, $97 million. That's a lot. I'd consider it. He averages 80 catches in about 1,000 yards last couple of years with weak quarterback play. But the rest of those guys, it's gone haywire. I mean, when Christian Kirk, a number two receiver on most teams, a number three on many teams, when he got $18 million a year, all right, wide receiver market's crazy. Now, again, Tyreek Hill at $28 million, I get it because he does so much. The franchise has an average quarterback. They're trying to pivot to offense. You start looking around at these guys. Stephon Diggs at $14 million feels like a bargain. Yeah, Devontae Adams, again, $30 million it's a hard pill for me to swallow, and I like him a lot. But he's not a speed receiver, and they have a slot receiver. There's an argument to be made. I think Devontae Adams is really good. They still need a speed receiver, and they don't need a slot receiver or a tight end. So he is a classic big volume receiver. That is valuable. $30 million? Probably not. The Cowboys, they're going to pay Michael Gallup a fortune. He's coming off an ACL tear. So it feels like, and what you're getting in a lot of this stuff, yes, the NFL is pivoting to offense. I'm not disputing that. But there's a scarcity of quarterbacks. The NFL draft gives you one great quarterback a year over the last 20 years. That's it. We're getting two dozen wide receivers in the NFL annually that can play, and five or six that are really, really good very, very quickly. Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase are Hall of Fame talents week one in the NFL. So when Kansas City let go of Tyreek Hill, it's painful, but they saved $25 million a year and they got five draft picks. I'm on their side. Mahomes will elevate receivers. Now, again, Tyreek's a very unique talent. But we're getting, when you get wide receivers who are not inching toward it, they have lurched into the quarterback realm of pay, we got a problem. It is a wide receiver bubble. Yes, the league is moving in their direction. Yes, Tyreek Hill is really valuable. But be honest, 5 draft picks for a wide receiver? Come on now. The Patriots, and it wasn't like it was an all-defensive league. The Patriots got Randy Moss for 1. I think it was like 4th round. Now it's 5, including a first-round pick. It seems like to me, and I'm seeing a lot of these historically poor franchises like Jacksonville, $18 million, Christian Kirk. Like him on the Rams, he's a 3. You know, Tampa Bay, he's a 4, 3, maybe a 4. I don't know. Feels desperate. Brandon Cooks, $20 million. Yikes. That is that is a lot of money. And you know, the thing is, it's not been gradual. I mean, we're all waking up and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It happened like really fast, sort of like houses in coastal cities have gone from 1.2 million to 2.3 in 9 months. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Feels like a bubble to me, to some degree. Not saying they're not important. I'm not saying your house on the coast isn't worth something. It's gotten really out of hand really fast.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Adam Silver has came out this week and just said, listen, we got an issue. I, you know, obviously you shouldn't have to incentivize people making $35 million a year to go to work. Just the world we live in. I go back to this hard parenting, hard coaching, hard commissioning. It works. You know, the old saying, give somebody an inch, they'll take a mile, and the players have a lot of leverage and they're taking advantage of it. We were doing this morning. My theory on what I would do is I would say you have to play 85% of your games on the schedule or you can't play at the All-Star game. So the 85% of the games before the All-Star game, if you don't play in them, you can't be in the All-Star game. Guys have bonuses tied to that. You can't win a scoring title, any individual title, unless you play 85% of the games. You can't be all NBA if you don't play 85% of the games. And that goes to not only today and bonuses, that's a legacy thing. Now, the downside of that is I did it this morning. I went and looked, what would this morning my first team all NBA team look like in the NBA? First team is not bad. Trae Young and DeMar DeRozan backcourt. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Jason Tatum, Andrew Wiggins forward. I know you say Andrew Wiggins, but Giannis didn't play enough games. Kevin Durant didn't play enough games. Anthony Davis didn't play enough games. And Jokic, MVP candidate center. Got to play 85% of the games. You can't make all NBA. You can't make any award. You can't go to the three-point shooting contest, dunk contest, all-star game. Here's the second team. Then it gets a little cringy. LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tobias Harris, Julius Randle, Karl-Anthony Towns. But again, if you're Giannis and you only make a handful, 2 or 3 All-NBA teams, he wants to make 10 of those things.
I mean, the MVP conversation would change dramatically as well.
Doubt. Jokic wins.
Yeah.
Jokic is the MVP. So you can't win an MVP, a scoring title. You can't be an All-Star. You cannot be All-NBA. Those awards, they're incentivizing bonuses.
Would you remove COVID as an exception for missing games?
Well, I mean, I think pandemics changed everything. right. So take.
But no, I think this is an interesting strategy because I think that those things matter.
Oh, you, MVPs?
Not just for bonuses, but I mean, that's tied to your future contracts. But these are the players that fans are seeing. That's the point.
Yeah. And you say, how can you say Andrew Wiggins? He's there every night. Listen, you don't have to do this in the NFL. I went and looked at all pro NFL teams this morning. Those guys play 15, 16, 17 games. NBA, this is where we're at. So you got to do something. You can't just sit there and pretend it's not happening. Adam Silver, to his credit, said it's an issue.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So during the pandemic, I know you're all think I'm obnoxious when I talk about the L.A., you know, living here and blah, blah, blah. I'm not the only one that likes to live here. And they also lose people. We've lost 160,000 people in L.A. County in the last couple of years. Why? Now, we have 10 million people in L.A. County, so it's like 1%. Why? Because the housing market, it's super, super expensive. And during COVID was really hard on New York, L.A., and Chicago. It was really hard on small business. Big corporations survived it, but small businesses in New York and Chicago, Atlanta and these big cities, especially sometimes liberal cities, they had more regulations, really hard on small businesses, and it's unfortunate. But people do want to live here. They make choices all the time. And so Anthony Davis and LeBron James have a lot of power, right? But Anthony Davis admitted this yesterday. He said, I love L.A. Yeah. By the way, he wanted to come to L.A. And this is what's happening. So during the pandemic, the state of California had a $75 billion surplus. Other states were going broke. Now, 40 states can't pay their bills every year. They need a federal check. Kentucky, Tennessee, smaller states, right? California has to give a check to the federal government. So does New York State. I think Illinois does as well. So we're the fifth biggest economy in the country. So the economy's good here. It is, though, in the last 2 years, it's separated from America. It's separated from New York. It's separated from Texas. It is the gap between California economy because of Zoom and Netflix and all these pandemic surging businesses has given us sort of a windfall. In fact, in California, they're talking about the governor giving everybody that owns a car $400 checks to pay for gas. That's when you got a surplus. So Anthony Davis said, I love LA. And my takeaway is you can now use this as a bargaining chip. And I'll give you an example of what's happening. So I think of New York and Boston as great American sports cities. Line up, who is the fourth biggest sports star in Boston today? Now, Jason Tatum's very big. Patrice Bergeron is very big. Nathan Uvalde, the pitcher. Those are stars. Who's their four? Marcus Smart? Jaylen Brown? Go to New York. Aaron Judge, KD, Kyrie. I'd make the argument, Jacob DeGrom. New York, who's their fourth star? When I'm talking stars, I'm talking either massive marquee guys. If they walked in a mall, they would get a crowd, or they're all stars. Think about not only California separating in the economy during the pandemic. Look at what has happened in the last 4 or 5 years. Stars often choosing LA. I'm not even going to include Clayton Kershaw, who's the best left-hander maybe since Sandy Koufax. I'm not going to count two or three Dodgers or Angels who could be all-stars. Look at the number of stars right now just in Los Angeles. In football, almost 10. Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford, Jalen Ramsey, Bobby Wagner, Odell, Joey Bosa, Justin Herbert, Khalil Mack. Baseball, Shohei Ohtani, who I watched pitch last night. Good God, does he throw hard. Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Walker Buehler, Trey Turner. Julio Urias, great. He won 20 games last year. LeBron, Anthony Davis, Paul George, a six-time All-Star, Kawhi Leonard. We're at 20. There's another 4 to 5. I'm not even counting Mike Williams, who is I'm not even going to count. He just got $1 zillion. I'm not going to count Clayton Kershaw. I'm not counting Westbrook, who's obviously a first-ballot Hall of Famer. This is where they want to play. Bobby Wagner had choices. This is where he wanted to play. This is where Paul George, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, LeBron, this is where they want to play.
Or Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. They chose it. Lakers have to use this as leverage. All right. You go play in New Orleans. You go play in all these. You go play in Philadelphia. See if you like that. How's the winter? We don't have one. So, I mean, I'm to the point with the Lakers is you have older players, LeBron, who love living here. You have rickety players, AD, who loves living here. Lakers facilities, Clippers facilities are nice. So my thing is, I'd start using that leverage. I'd take your franchise back. I'd use it. Because athletes now, LeBron almost doubled his net worth in 5 years moving to this city. He came here, he was worth about $400 million. He's worth about $850 million now. Like, he has doubled it. It's not because of his salary. It's because of his businesses. As entertainment and athletics converge, it's exploding what's happening. Streaming services, production companies, podcast companies. A lot of it. Silicon Valley, in the state. Use it as leverage.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There are decisions in all of our lives that are difficult. But there is some stuff. Each of us have things we know You know, as a parent, there are just certain things you shouldn't do with your kids. You know, we know in our businesses there are certain things you can't do. It's very obvious in professional football that you have to have a top 10, 12 quarterback if you really want sustained success. Dan Campbell doesn't get that, which is amazing because it's actually tied to his employment. Like, if he doesn't get one, he won't be employed in 3 years. He said yesterday, I don't think the Lions need an elite quarterback to win. First of all, Jared Goff's pretty good, but he's not elite. He goes, I don't think you need it. I mean, those guys are special. It'll give you a better chance, but no, I don't believe you have to have one of those guys to have sustained success. All right, name all the coaches employed for over 6-7 years that are average at quarterback. None. Mike Zimmer just got fired. Okay. There's three real obvious signs in professional football that quarterbacks about 75 to 80% of the game. Number one, the best quarterback won every division last year. That's kind of that's an obvious one. Second thing is the best defensive coach in the history of the sport and the best coach, Bill Belichick, could not force a single punt against Josh Allen in Buffalo's last 14 possessions. Couldn't stop him. And the Bills don't have a great running game or a great O-line. They couldn't stop him. Not once. Belichick, defense, not once. And number three is, of the top five rushing teams last year, none won a playoff game. In fact, three of the four top rushing teams didn't make the playoffs. This is why Mike Zimmer was fired and Vic Fangio was fired and why Pete Carroll's about to be. If you don't get how valuable quarterback is, you don't get it. It would be like being a sports radio host in America and saying, yeah, football's popular, but I don't have to talk the NFL much. No. Over 50%. I didn't used to talk 50% NFL, 60%. And then the world changed. And that started pulling away from other leagues and legalized gambling. And now we just watch it more than anything, and it's not even close. So this is where I feel bad for Lions fans. Because Detroit actually has a pretty good offensive line. They've got some interesting players. They have a great young tight end, excellent young wide receiver. DeAndre Swift is a remarkable young running back. Their offensive line is good. But they don't score that much because the quarterback's pretty average. That's it. Their running back's top five. Their tight end, I think, is top five or six. I mean, they've got a couple of really nice. Amaron St. Brown was a great rookie receiver. Their offensive line, Penei Sewell, they got two good tackles. They got a lot of good offensive pieces. They're just not great at quarterback. There you go. So, and that's not a shot at Jared Goff, but I mean, you saw the Rams, the minute he left, Stafford comes in, it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, prime example, take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good God, the roster's stacked. They were 7-9 before Brady got there. Won a Super Bowl the first year in a pandemic year. I mean, Tampa's the greatest example. They just added an old quarterback. You saw the Chiefs and Packers play last year when Aaron didn't play and Jordan Love did. It looked like the same Packer team. One player was different. And it's not like Jordan Love wasn't tall enough. He's 6'4", strong enough, 6'3", athletic. I mean, Jordan Love was a great college quarterback. He's a big kid. He'd been in the system. Just that singular change, Green Bay couldn't move the ball. Had to literally, the whole playbook changed. So if you can't figure this out, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. You're done. So show yourself to the door. It'll be in a couple years. But if that's how you're viewing things, it's not that difficult. Football's hard. It's not that hard.
I mean, there was a time where you didn't. That is not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just the shift of the league.
A prime example, you have to pursue one-and-done players in college basketball.
Correct.
Gonzaga does, Baylor does, UNC does. Do all the teams in the Final Four do. Villanova doesn't land them a lot, but you have to go after the one-and-dones because they're going to end up being on the teams that you face in your conference. So Mike Krzyzewski, Bobby Knight never embraced it. That's why he has a very sad last 10 years of coaching. Coach Krzyzewski pushed back on it. And then acknowledge, I started facing the one-and-dones. They were on Carolina, and I couldn't beat them. And so, like, there's certain things you just have to...
You have to be a great recruiter in college football.
There's no exception. If you
don't even have to be a great coach.
No.
You just have to, you have to be a great recruiter.
Yeah, and now with the there's just stuff that's really obvious. And I really think the defensive coaches, Belichick, I think, is struggling with this. I think Pete Carroll is. I think Fangio. I think Mike Zimmer. These are smart guys. It's why I don't love Todd Bowles with Tampa. I would have gone with Byron Leftwich. It's just the world has changed. The NFL's given the middle of the field to offense. The rules have given the middle of the field. Used to be defense my entire life. Now it's the offenses. Can't touch anybody. These wide receivers, they'll all go over the middle. You can't stop anybody. Belichick didn't force one punt in the last two games against Josh Allen. Belichick. Hour three, next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, he was a scout for 18 years in the NFL, and not only a scout, but had great influence on building Super Bowl rosters. Packers Super Bowl roster, Seahawks Super Bowl roster, a couple of the Patriots Super Bowl rosters. Jim Nagy's now the Senior Bowl Executive Director. So we're getting close to the draft, a couple weeks out now. And Jim knows I'm a diehard and a wonk for all this stuff. I love it. I would say this. It's not a generally general managers, Jim, have told me through the years, there's about 16 to 18 really elite players. They're just different physically, speed, motor, something. I don't feel like that this year. If I said to you, and can't miss is a cliche, but most drafts you're getting 15 to 18 guys, the Chase Youngs, the Jamar Chases, you know, we look at them and we go, okay, that's going to work really fast. Patrick Surtain, I thought, looked like that. How many guys in this draft, Jim, would you look, you don't have to mention their names, and you'd say, boy, I don't see a miss at all. Like, you look at them and you don't see a big ugly flaw on tape.
You know, there's probably a handful, Colin, but again, you're hitting on good players and maybe not great players. There's probably, you know, 10 to 15 sure things where you know they're going to be good, solid, you know, probably go to a couple Pro Bowl type players, but maybe not that high-end guy that we have in a lot of years.
Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan. When you talk to your scouts, when you talk to people, what is it about him that separates him? Because most believe, and I think I do, he's the best player in the draft.
Yeah, just the whole package. Really, you're checking all the boxes with Aiden. He is, you know, people started to kind of pigeonhole him over the summer and going into the season as an overachiever. I always thought he was a better athlete than that. You got to give the kid credit. They used him a lot more, dropping in coverage this year, moving him around, kind of showing that athletic ability. But, he, you know, from a character perspective, he's going to be everything you want. You know, you never want to draft a player because it you know, it's a popular pick with your fan base. But right now, if he gets past Jacksonville at one, and he could go there. I mean, if he's there for Detroit, I mean, just marrying up with that fan base and that Detroit fan base, hometown kid, he's really, to me, he's going to have a Chris Longish type career. And Chris Long was a really good player for a long time, and he helped a couple teams win Super Bowls.
You know, it's interesting. The SEC is winning the national titles. They're winning the recruiting battles. Okay, so we know they're the best college conference. And years ago, I had a GM say, he goes, if you didn't count quarterback, you got to get your quarterback from anywhere. He goes, you could mostly draft the SEC and get away with filling your roster out. Don't count the quarterback. And I look at Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, and I like him, but he's not a big end rusher like a Chase Young. I don't think he's quite as strong as I felt the Boses were. Not as quietly as relentless, maybe as a TJ Watt. And it does worry me a little. And I'm a West Coast guy. I say, you know, yeah, if he's in the SEC and all those left tackles and right tackles that are NFL guys, do you think conference matters? That sometimes can you be fooled by looking at a dominant player in less of a conference?
I do. I absolutely do. You just look at the Pac-12's down right now. There's no doubt about it. We actually had more players from the Missouri Valley Conference this year in the Senior Bowl than we had the Pac-12.
Wow.
Which kind of tells you the state that they're in. We had all the Northern Iowa and North Dakota State guys. So it's down. I think the concern right now with the league, where the league's at with Thibodeau, is he just a situational pass rusher? Is he a DPR? Is at the LSU Pro Day a couple days ago now? And that was the concern. If we line up with this guy, are they just going to run the ball at us 50 times a game and run right at Thibodeau? So there's a few concerns. Motor a little bit, you know, just is all the NIL stuff. Is he going to be distracted off the field? Those are legitimate concerns. But the level of comp, you every player, you have to factor in level of comp. And right now you put on the Pac-12 stuff, and is he beating any next level players? Is he going up and beating any NFL guys? You put on the Washington State tape, probably the best player he went against was Abraham Lucas from Washington State. Now, he did a lot against the left tackle, but Abe's on the right side. He didn't do anything against Abe Lucas. So I think those are some of the concerns. I agree with you on the SEC. You hit that conference, you might have to go outside for some offensive linemen, quarterbacks, but you can stay down there and get all your big guys on the defensive line and your front seven guys in your corners.
So Malik Willis is interesting. I'm not a big believer that the combine changes anything. I think the Senior Bowl does more than the combine does. I think that's a little bit of a beauty contest. But I did think Malik Willis, when I watched him, I was like, man, he's thicker there than he looks at YouTube. His arm is a push-it-down-the-field arm. And I got to be honest, Malik Willis kind of, when I got to see him in shorts, I was like, yeah, that's an NFL. That's an NFL body. What do you make of him? He plays at a lower level of football. You know, he doesn't play. It's not quite yet NFL offense stuff, but I don't know. I watched a lot of guys run around in this league for the first couple of years. Josh Allen, for 2 years, ran around until he figured out the passing game. What do you make of Malik Willis?
Yeah, I don't have a unique take here in the sense that I think he is the highest ceiling quarterback in this draft, Colin. I'll just share with you a little story. I went up and watched him play at UAB in the fall. I wanted to see him play live like we do with all the quarterbacks. And watched this guy against UAB, and the thing that stood out was how physically strong this guy is. You reference how thick he is. I mean, they couldn't get him on the ground. That was usually you walk away from a quarterback exposure and you think about arm or presence or, you know, something on the sidelines you see that sticks out. I haven't left a college game doing a quarterback, leaving the stadium that day, thinking how physically strong a guy was since Ben Roethlisberger back at Miami of Ohio, whatever that was, I'm dating myself, 2002, 2003.
Wow.
But that's, I mean, totally different body types, but they just couldn't get him on the ground. So you talk about the runaround factor until you figure it out. He certainly has that. I don't know how many teams want to get Malik out there this year, but that run dynamic and that strength and that physicality, that's certainly going to help him transition until he fully gets up to speed, to the speed of the game.
18 years as a scout, 4 Super Bowl teams he helped build. Jim Nagy joining us, Senior Bowl exec director. Give me a player that he'll maybe a top 15 player, but you think he's actually undervalued, that he may be worthy of being number one, but he won't get pick number one.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Top 15 that could go number one. The thing is, there's a lot of guys that could go number one. I'd say maybe Sauce Gardner, the corner from Cincinnati.
Yep.
Everyone's talking about him as a top 10 guy or maybe top 5. I don't think anyone's talking about him as the number one guy. But I'll just relate a couple stories from the combine this year up there. I mean, there was a couple teams that said, we think Sauce Gardner is the best player in this year's draft. He's not close to the finished product. I understand there's concerns about the level of comp and who's he gone against. Similar, like I said, about Kayvon Thibodeau and what tackles is he beating out in the Pac-12. But you look at this guy, a 6'2 corner, very springy athlete. Teams just threw away from him. They ignored him. But he's got swagger. You love how he's wired. He kind of carries himself like that corner. Reminds me a little bit of J.C. Horn that way last year from last year's draft.
Yeah.
Who was the Panthers' top 10 pick. But, yeah, it could be Sauce Gardner. I think you could make a case he is the best player, highest ceiling player in this draft.
Drake London. He's not a burner. I watched every college snap. He's not going to run past people. Are you concerned that he just doesn't have top-end speed?
A little bit. And top-end speed is a little overrated. I just go back. You look at guys like Anquan Boldin. I was his group leader at the combine the year Boldin came out. And I told all the guys, don't check with me on your 40 time until we're done with the whole workout. And I'll never forget Anquan walking up, and I had to tell him he ran 4.76. So speed can be overrated. You look at Keenan Allen. There's a bunch of guys that have been good players. But what he does have, which all these guys have that work out, is tempo. He's got good tempo, short to intermediate. He's never going to be a guy that stretches the field, but he's got some bounce in his step. You know, he's got that basketball skill set, kind of like Mike Williams did coming out of Clemson years ago with the Chargers. You know, and Alshon Jeffrey, like, it's a little bit of roll of the dice because they don't really get open. You want guys that can create space. So these bigger body guys that muscle on the ball, to me, it's not a slam dunk. But I like his game. I like Drake London's game.
How about Garrett Wilson, Olave for Ohio State? Do you consider those guys like elite NFL prospects?
Yeah, I like both those guys. I like Garrett a little bit higher, a little bit more of a dynamic playmaker, in my opinion, in terms of change of direction, ability to get open, create room for himself before and after the catch. Kind of got that big play dynamic. And, you know, the fun part is watching these guys back to back. You know, you're watching them in the same game, and then you're throwing on the cutoff. They're playing the same competition. And then even at the pro day, watching those guys go rep after rep, I think Garrett Wilson separated himself from Chris a little bit that day as well. But both are good players. Chris is super smooth. Doesn't always look like he's playing 4-3, but he is. His receivers coach there at Ohio State told me, he's like, he's going to run faster than you think. And I'm like, I don't know. And then obviously I was wrong. I shot him my stopwatch from the combine. I'm like, yeah, man, you were right.
Yeah. Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Executive Director, drafts a few weeks away. Good stuff. I love it. Jim, it's great seeing you again. Congrats. Senior Bowl's humming. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
You bet.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit Slack.com to get started.